Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all declare the title or the theme of this training.
The Lord is coming.
Again.
The Lord is coming.
Okay, this time let's emphasize the word Lord.
The Lord is coming.
And then this time, coming.
The Lord is coming.
Amen. It's the Lord's coming. Okay, now we're coming to message 6, and those that don't have an outline, can you please raise your hand? And the brothers will pass the outlines around. The Lord's coming!
Amen.
The Lord's coming!
Amen.
Saints, the Lord's coming.
Amen.
Don't you appreciate the review that the brothers gave this morning? Isn't the prophetic word made more firm this week? The Lord is coming. And so, with this in mind, the Lord's coming! The Lord's coming! Not Philip's coming, not Frank's coming, but the Lord's coming! It's so important that the New Testament has what? 20%? Is it one out of every 20 verses? 5 verses? 5%, sorry. 5% of the New Testament refers to the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming! And so, we've given 5 messages so far that refer to His promise, and the signs and our preparation. And this morning we wanted to cover the proper attitude. The proper attitude. Now, I want to just touch real quick. This, Brother Tom mentioned the other night, it is the highlight, one of the highlights for him to come to the college. This is one of the highlights for me, to come to the college training. And I was, my wife and I were talking, and Philip and I were talking, and what did we share last year? And I was trying to think, what did we share? Well, I wasn't here last year. I forgot. I wasn't here. We were on our way where we were moving. Sorry. My name is Emmanuel, by the way. From the church in Knoxville. So last year we were on our way moving to Knoxville. But before that we were in Philadelphia. And then before that we were in Washington DC. And then before that, in California. But when we were in Washington, D.C., Brother Andrew gave this example during the training, and I'm just going to modify a little bit to being in Washington, D.C. We grew up, so we were there for 11 years in Washington, D.C., and we had a lot of opportunities, many opportunities to go to the White House, to go to the inauguration, and one time, we were able to go to the parade, the inauguration parade. And at the inauguration, I don't know, I think it was a brother that was working. His office was looking over Pennsylvania Avenue. So we were there, and we were on the top floor. We were watching, and the parade was going by, and this band goes by, and the military goes by. But what was the point of the parade? What was the point? The president. We knew at the end of this line, the military walks out with all their guns, so impressive, all these things. But the end was the goal. And that goal was a person. And many times, well, I shouldn't say many times, but what you're looking forward to is that the president would get out of the car and walk down the street. Then you can see the president. Because of security and all that, sometimes they don't get out of the car, but how disappointing is that? You go to the parade and the motorcade goes by and you don't get to see the president. But this time we got to see the president. Got out of the car and he walked down the street. So there's this procession, right? And this parade, but the goal was to see the president. And so, our brother was sharing, this is kind of, an example of the signs that are given in the Bible, especially in Revelation. We're watching the signs. We're watching the signs, right? But we're not watching the signs for the sake of watching the signs. We're watching the signs because we know at the end, there's a wonderful person.
Amen.
The Lord is coming.
Amen.
The Lord's coming. That's what we're looking for. Yeah, sure, we want to know. We're following the program there, okay? The Air Force comes by, the Navy, you know, okay. But, okay, how many more? Three more. Okay, then the President's coming. Right? That's Revelation. The first seal. The second seal. Right? Matthew. The nation of Israel. Jerusalem. Okay, the signs. We're getting closer. He's coming closer. Okay. Then our brother shared, okay, what if you knew, hypothetically, what if you knew that at the end of this parade, the president would ask you to join him and walk down the street with him? Well, your attitude would be a little different. So we're up there, you know, up in the office, we're looking down, and, you know, there are a lot of other people, and there's food and things like that, and everyone's having a good time. They're just sitting there. Maybe they're even, you know, you're up there, right? Maybe even shorts and t-shirts, flip-flops. But if you knew that you had to go down and join the president at a certain time, okay, at when the naval military brass start coming out, okay, that's the time you need to come down and join the president to walk into the White House. Okay, then you know, okay, it's time to prepare. I better put on a shirt, a tie, a jacket, right? I can't just sit there like everyone else, because I'm going to be part of this procession. Well, brothers and sisters, that, in a sense, is kind of an example of our view and our attitude concerning the Lord's coming. Yes, there's all these things we need to prepare, we need to see, we need to understand, and if you get into it, there are a lot of details. But the purpose and the goal is not so that we know. Not that we know the doctrine, but that we would be prepared and participate in the Lord's coming. So, this morning, we want to cover this last aspect. Let's all read this title together. The believer's proper attitude concerning the Lord's coming. And, you know, everything has to do with attitude, right? Attitude. We're as parents, we're always dealing with our children's attitude. And, you know, sometimes I come home from work and the children are, they all come running to me. Daddy, daddy, daddy. And they love me. And, you know, they're hugging me. That's one type of attitude of my coming, right? Then there's another. The same day, I'll be going to them in the evening and they're doing something. And they've already been told, okay, when daddy comes, it's time to go to bed. And so when daddy comes, they're like, oh, same day, same person, same children. But what changed? The attitude. So attitude, brothers and sisters, attitude. We want to have the proper attitude concerning the Lord's coming. Some will have the proper attitude. Lord, we can't wait for your return. How about that song this morning? Lord, soon, soon we will see thee face to face. You know, wasn't there a response in you? You know, soon, Lord, soon, soon, you'll return. But there may be another response. There may be another. Not soon, Lord. Please, no. Not soon, Lord. And how about with the unbelievers? There's not even the concept that the Lord is returning, right? Or even wanting to delay the Lord's return. So, brothers and sisters, this morning we want to talk about our attitude, a proper attitude. So let's read Roman numeral 1 together.
We need to give heed to the prophetic word
Okay, so what is the proper attitude? The proper attitude, according, there's many things, right? But in this outline, there's the proper attitude of loving the Lord's appearing, right? Loving His appearing. And loving His appearing, what verse is that? It's one of the verses that you memorized. 2 Peter what? 4:8, right? So, 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy. But all those who have loved His appearing. We want to be those who love His appearing. Okay, and let me just touch this real quickly. It's one thing to love the Lord. And there's another thing about loving His appearing. Right? We love the Lord. But we want to be those that love His appearing. Okay. Then, the second type of attitude we want to have is a watching attitude. And we saw this in Matthew 24, right? Those verses, Matthew 24 and 25. Then a third attitude is a waiting attitude. Waiting the Lord's return. And that's Philippians 3:20. We want to have an expecting attitude. Expecting the Lord's return. 2 Peter 3:12, and then finally hastening the Lord's return. So I want to come back to Brother Ricky's first message to us the first night. And I don't know if you remember, he talked about our heart. Do you remember? Our heart. And then having a spirit, exercising our spirit of what? Power, of love, and sober-mindedness, plus what? Taking care of our conscience. So these three aspects plus our conscience comprises our heart. So our attitude, brothers and sisters, concerning the Lord's return has everything to do with our heart. Our heart. You know, in these verses in 2 Timothy 3:2 talks about the seven types of lovers. Remember this? Did you read that footnote there? It says in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, seven kinds of lovers are mentioned. Lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, lovers of God, lovers of good, lovers of husbands, and lovers of children. Also, two kinds of non-lovers are mentioned. Non-lovers of God, right? Non-lovers of good, and non-lovers of God. Okay. So that's all in your footnote. So here's the line that I appreciated and enjoyed in the footnote. Whatever one loves, his whole heart, even his whole entire being, is set on and occupied and possessed by. This is crucial. Whether there would be a day of glory in the church's victory or grievous days of the church's decline, depends altogether on what kind of lovers we are. History tells us that the root of the church's decline was the loss of her first love toward the Lord. To maintain the victory of the church, we must be lovers of God and lovers of good that pertains to God's economy. So, let's be lovers of God! Amen. Lovers of His appearing! Okay, let's read point number one, brothers. Okay, a little stronger, a little stronger.
Loving the present age, the world now before our eyes, is in contrast to loving the Lord's appearing. If we love the Lord's appearing, we shall take sides with Him and fight for His interests.
Amen. So, the verse in 2 Timothy 4:10 talks about the present age, right? For Demas has abandoned me, having loved the present age. O Lord Jesus, the present age. So, we can be lovers of His appearing, but what is it? What is it that causes us not to love His appearing? Well, one thing for sure we know here, a brother is left, because he loved the present age. Brothers and sisters, the present age can be defined by many, many things. One is the religious age, the religious world, right? But, you know, Brother Minoru shared last night or in the video that we watched, there's a whole aspect that the college students today and the young people are dealing with in this present age. And, you know, again, we would encourage you to go to ageturners.com and watch that entire video. But the present age has a way of ensnaring us, capturing our heart to love the present age rather than the Lord's appearing. And, you know, I was considering, over this outline, and I was reminded of the verse in Revelation 18:7. I wonder if we can just turn there real quickly. Revelation 18:7. In Revelation 18:7, it says, "And much as she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, as much torment and sorrow give to her, for she says in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am not a widow, and I shall by no means see sorrow." This is Babylon, right? Saying she is a queen. I am not a widow. And I was reminded, one of our statuses as believers is a widow. We are a widow in this world. And our attitude and our heart toward the world should be that we are widows. Okay, what are widows? Widows are ones, their husband has died. And as believers, who is our husband?
Christ.
Christ is our husband. And has he died? Yes, physically he's died. We remember the Lord this morning. We remembered his death by the bread and the wine, the bread and the cup. Shows that our Lord has died. And our attitude should be that of a widow. Okay, so why do I share this? Because if we are widows, then the things of the world should be dead to us. Where's Elizabeth Cagle? Elizabeth, you're our architect, right? What is a widow's walk? Do you know what a widow's walk is? Right. So there's an architectural kind of design that, especially on coastal cities, coastal towns. This is a 19th century thing that it's like a porch on top of the roof, and it looks out to the ocean. So it's called a widow's walk or a widow's ledge or something like that. And, you know, the story behind it is that the wives of the mariners would go up to that widow's walk on the roof and look out every day toward the ocean. And what are they looking for? They're looking for that ship to return with their husband on board. But many, you know, 19th century, the ships were not, that was not a safe passage. So many of them were actually widows. They didn't know it, but they were widows. And they would go out every day and they would look. What are they looking for? They're expecting something. They're expecting a return. Well, brothers and sisters, in a sense, that should be our attitude as widows. We're getting on the widow's ledge every morning, right? And we're looking. Lord, Lord, when is your return? And our brother Nee shares, you know, as one of the statuses of widow, he shared, what if, you know, I don't know if you've experienced someone close to you dying, maybe not a husband, but someone close to you. It turns your world upside down, doesn't it? It turns your world upside down, much more for a wife losing a spouse, right? Losing a husband. There is just nothing. And you see this person, and they just, there's no hope in this world anymore. What are they looking? They're looking for their spouse. It's not that the things in the world are not attractive, right? Because they are. But it's, those things are dead to them. Our brother Nee mentioned, what would people say if, you know, the wife, the husband died and she dressed, you know, the next day she dressed in real nice clothes. She's making herself up, you know. There must be something wrong with that love if the wife is able to do that. In a sense, brothers and sisters, if we indulge ourselves in this present age, we are a queen. You know, in Revelation, I sit as a queen. I am not a widow. So our attitude, brothers and sisters, as a status of a widow, is that we are dead to this world, and the world is dead to us. Every day, we are ones looking for the Lord's return, expecting His return. Everything else is dead to us. That is one type of attitude that is loving the Lord's appearing, expecting the Lord's return. Okay, how about sisters, read 2. Good. So this is another status, right? Of a bride awaiting her bridegroom on the day, on the wedding day. And our brother brought out that this waiting, this eagerly waiting, is not a passive waiting. We're not just sitting there. Okay, the Lord's returning, we're waiting. But he says, it's an active attitude of waiting that changes our being. This type of attitude changes our being, rules our intellect, sustains our hope, and inspires our living. This is what it means to wait on the Lord. You have that? An active attitude of waiting that changes our being, rules our intellect, sustains our hope, and inspires our living. So when we read these verses concerning waiting for the Lord's return, this is the type of attitude of waiting for the Lord's return. It deals with every aspect of our being. It rules our intellect, right? Sustains our hope and inspires our living. With this kind of waiting, our attitude of waiting for the Lord's return, we cannot help but hasten His return rather than just passively waiting for His return, right? So that word there, waiting, has an active sense that affects our whole being. Okay, so it's point number 3. Let's all read point number 3 together. So we've touched this matter several times through the theme, but this is, you know, in terms of inspiring, sustains our hope and inspires our living. When we're living in the light of the Lord's appearing, every day, the Lord is closer. His coming is closer every day. And if we live with this type of light, and you know, brother and sister, I'm speaking to myself here, right? I'm speaking to myself first. Every day, that type of living will hasten the Lord's return. It really affects where we go, what we do, if the Lord's light. And that's why Paul charged us. His charging was in light of the Lord's return, right? Those are the little things, right? But what about in terms of what school I go to, what major I take, what classes I take in light of the Lord's appearing? But, you know, I'm not condemning things, but there are certain majors, they may not be that practical. And you may have a lot of debt that you come out of school. Well, in light of the Lord's appearing, in light of participating in the Lord's move, let's say you want to serve on a campus. Let's say you want to move to Europe. You want to migrate to Europe. Well, if you have all this debt and you're not employable, that's difficult. So all the things we do in light of the Lord's appearing will affect the decisions we make, affect the choices we make, the choices we take in light of the Lord's appearing. All right, how about we all read number 4? Okay, so a lot of these points are all related and we touched a lot of them, but we want to just hit them again and again and again because it relates to our attitude, it relates to our heart. Brothers and sisters, we're not just expecting here, we want to be ones that hasten His return. And how do we hasten? All these practical points, and you know, we'll touch them in the second part of this outline. We'll touch them. But the point is here, the attitude, brothers and sisters, is not passive. It's loving. It's expecting. It's waiting. It's hastening. Hastening the Lord's return. All right, how about the brothers read point B together? So the attitude of watching. And again, brothers and sisters, we touched this matter, but a thief does not come to steal trash. The thief comes to steal precious things. And what is precious? What is precious in the Lord's eyes? Christ. Christ is precious. The oil is precious. So let us be ones that are filled with oil, filled with Christ. That when the Lord comes, He would steal us. Oh, you would be so precious that He would be one to come to steal you. Okay, how about sisters? 1. Okay, 2. Brothers. Okay, so again, we have this matter of encouragement and incentive and warning, right? And we've covered the signs in Revelation. There are things that are coming. You know, Peter talks about the things that are about to come that will what? Burn? Or what's that word that Peter uses? He said, what? It will be consumed. Right? All these things. Okay. We do not want to be around during that time. The Great Tribulation, we do not want to be around during that time. If you get into it, you start studying it, you do not want to be here. So we want to be ones to pray, and we would beseech to prevail in that day, to escape in that day. And all of that comes with this attitude of watching and hastening. Okay, and finally, let's read point C, right? A precious point. All together, point C. Amen. Every today. Hallelujah for today. We have today. Every day truly is the Lord's grace. And, you know, this matter of having oil in our vessels, you know, when the Lord returns and we believe His return is soon and, many of you and hopefully us will still be here when the Lord returns. And when the Lord returns, He will check, right, check how much oil is in our vessel, right? But there's this other aspect, young people and college students, that If we were to pass before the Lord returns, that as the Lord's checking your oil at that time. So, do you understand? Once you die, that's the end for you, in a sense, until some, perhaps summer school. So how much oil you have in your vessel. So in other words, there may be this thought, oh, the Lord's return, you know, when the Lord, I'm going to gain as much oil when the Lord, when the signs are closer, right? But we may not have tomorrow. We have today. And we have to take every day, we have to take today as the Lord's grace to us. You know, that actually reminds me of the verse in Matthew that we touched. I think last night we might have touched it real quickly, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 48. Okay, so this is the parable on the faithful and prudent, right? Who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time, right? Ben, you read that, right? Blessed is the slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Truly I say to you that he will set him over all his possessions. Okay, here's the verse I'm trying to touch. 24, 48. But if the evil slave says, where? In his heart, my master delays. The evil slave says, in his heart, my master delays. O Lord Jesus, have you ever had this thought in your heart? Maybe you might not have said it, but in our heart, my master delays. The signs still show, maybe, at least I have 3.5 years. At least I have 3.5 years, right? In your heart, my master delays. Well, brothers and sisters, we need to take every day. Take today. Truly is the Lord's grace. We have many things we would still like to do, and you know, we'll touch this point. Point D, we need to keep the word of Christ, endurance, and keep the Lord's work until the end. Philip and I were just talking last night. We were young people in 1987. And in 1987, there was a young people's conference, and we enjoyed the Lord, and we loved the Lord, and we said, we were bringing the Lord back. Right? Hallelujah! The Lord was moving with us, moving with the young people as He's moving with you today. We are bringing the Lord back in 13 years. 1987 at 13. What was that? Year 2000. A good round even number. Right? 13 years. So, I mean, weren't we enjoying that, Philip? I think maybe you weren't on my shoulder. But we had young people on our shoulders. We were marching around the meeting hall. I think even in the meetings, we were on each other's shoulders, you know. We're bringing the Lord back in 13 years. And, you know, I would say we were expecting, we were doing it, right? And, but I would say, and this is the reason I bring it up, I'd say in my heart, I was, okay, 13 years, I'll be this age and, I can be married by then and maybe have a child by then. So child will be three years in, you know. Anyway, in my heart, there was still, even with 13 years, I'm thinking, right? But brothers and sisters, where are those? And I appreciate Brother Ricky. There will be ones that won't be able to do this when the Lord returns. Will you be those ones? Will you be those ones that are willing to let those go? You know, and I've heard this more and more recently, brothers and sisters. I've been with some brothers, and they would say, oh, Emmanuel, I want the Lord to return, whether I'm ready or not. What kind of attitude is that? That attitude is just loving the Lord's appearing, not caring. Not caring for, you know, if you have that kind of attitude, I am sure the Lord has a way to make you ready. So there's still very much in, even in our wanting the Lord's coming, our self is still very much involved, right? And appreciate these brothers' hearts. Even if I'm not ready, I want the Lord to return. The world needs the Lord to return. But even more so, the Lord wants to return. And so, we have this word of endurance. Okay, so that was 1987, right? The year 2000 came, and by no means were the brothers, the older brothers, telling us, the Lord's coming in the year 2000, right? It was never like, it was the young people, right? The young people kind of coming up with their own thing. And so, you know, never believe, you know, ones that are saying, oh, the Lord's coming on this day. You know, we've heard this already, right? We want to be balanced in our attitude, in life, and also grounded in the truth, in the Word. Okay, so 13 years since then, right? 1987 and the year 2000. What year is now? 2013. So that's been another 13 years. So, can you believe it? 26 years. 26 years since we were young people. We still feel young, right? But 26 years. We really need the word of endurance. And so I speak this young people, college students, because we want the Lord to return. And we want the Lord to return quickly. We also need the word of endurance. We're not saying in our heart the Lord delays, but we also want the attitude of hastening and expecting His return. And in this, we need the word of endurance. Okay, how about let's all read point E together. A little stronger.
Come, Lord Jesus!
Oh, come, Lord Jesus. We should all have a prayer, such as a prayer to have such a desire. Right? Come, Lord Jesus. And then let's all read point F together. Amen. So these verses, these phrases, great resolutions in heart and great searchings of heart come from the book Judges, right? Judges 5, 15 and 16. And if you haven't read this book, A Blessed Human Life, you need to read this book, A Blessed Human Life. It talks about great resolutions in heart and great searchings of heart. Okay, what's a great resolution? What's a great resolve? That is a firm decision. We want to be ones, as young people, as college students, to make a firm decision. Okay, what is a great searching? Great searchings is to devise a plan. Devise a plan. So we have to have firm decision and devise a plan. Okay, it's not just resolutions and searchings, right? So it's not just, okay, I'm making a firm decision that I'm going to read the Word. That is good. That is very good, and that's in our going on, we need to do that. And it's not just searching, it's to devise a plan. Okay, I'm going to have a plan to read the life studies 1 hour a week for the next 4 weeks. Right? That is a great plan. But here in Judges, it talks about great resolutions in heart and great searchings of heart. Okay, this is where college students are. You're just in your time of life, where there is much great searchings of heart, right? And great resolutions in heart and much great searchings of heart. Everyone is giving themselves to something. They're devising a plan for something, for their lives. and they're coming up with a plan. They're making a decision to do something in their lives. What, college students, what are you going to do? What kind of decision, what kind of firm decision are you going to make in these days? What kind of plan are you going to devise in these days concerning your life, concerning your human life? We hope in light of this, it would be in light of the Lord's appearing. Okay, and in that book, A Blessed Human Life, he talks about the Lord's second coming. Right after these verses, he talks about the Lord's second coming. And then he says, the whole world is open to this ministry. Whole world is open to this ministry. What ministry is that? What ministry is that? The ministry of this age. And we've talked a little bit, and I just want to touch a little bit this morning. What is the ministry of the age? We talked about it, right? Get into the ministry of the age. What is the ministry of the ministry of the age is the ministry of what the Lord is doing in that particular age. And you need to read this book, A Vision of the Age. Right? So in Noah's time, the Lord was doing one work. What was that work? To build the ark. That was the ministry of the age and the minister of the age. You had to be with Noah. If you weren't with Noah, what happened? You died. You were not part of the Lord's work in that day. So throughout all the ages, there has always been a particular work and a ministry. Now, we're not saying there's not different ministries, but there's one unique ministry of that age. And that particular work is a ministry. And so Darby, Luther, they were ministers of the age, and they had the ministry of the age. And in this age today, we have the completing ministry of Paul, which we are following closely. And that is the ministry of the age. What is this ministry doing? This ministry is a bride-producing ministry. This ministry, as we read the ministry, as we get into the ministry, it is producing the bride to bring the Lord back. What else? This ministry is an age-ending, age-turning ministry. That's the ministry we have. That's why, brothers and sisters, Brother Ted the other night was encouraging us so strongly to get into the ministry, to get into the ministry, to read the life studies, read the books. Why? Because we have the best teaching? No. By the way, we do have the best teaching. No, not just the teaching. It's because it's the ministry of this age. And so, as we have the ministry of the age, and Brother Nee actually said, he said, it is a great mercy that a person can see and come into contact with the ministry of that age. It is a great mercy. Brothers and sisters, we have been shown great mercy that we are in this age and we have come in contact with the ministry of this age. We just don't know. We don't know. To appreciate what is in our hands, what we've gotten into, the lifestyle. Now I have everything right here. The ministry is here. And as we appreciate it, we get into it, then we're ones that are in the reality of the Lord's recovery. Okay, so I wanted to open that because why? I want to read this portion. In our reading excerpts, we have a portion of this, but Brother Andrew shared this in the training last, I think it was in the winter, and I want to put it in more context. Okay? He says, in my whole life, I have never been impressed by another person like I was by Miss Emmy Barber. She indeed was a person who waited for the Lord's return. Okay. Giant, this is Brother Andrew sharing, giants like G.H. Pember, Robert Gauvin, and D.M. Panton recovered the truth concerning the Lord's second coming. But there is still the need of one more recovery. What is that? Which is the recovery of the experience of waiting for the Lord's return. Did you hear that? there is still the need of one more recovery, which is the recovery of the experience of waiting for the Lord's return. And waiting here, remember, again, is not the passive waiting, but it's the active waiting, right? That affects our whole being, affects the way we live, it rules our intellect, okay? That was the recovery of Emmy Barber. She was a person who not only knew the Lord's return, but also one whose life was a life of waiting for the Lord's return. So then Brother Nee continues, there were many famous men in Christianity who studied prophecy, such as D.M. Panton. They all knew about the Lord's return. But to my knowledge, only Miss Barber was a person who truly waited for his return. It was a big surprise. So, you have this in your portion, but I'll just read it. It was a big surprise to her that the Lord had not returned in her time. 1 year I spent the last day, New Year's Eve, with her. She prayed, Lord, if you want to come now, there is still time this year. You do not have to wait until next year. Her face was towards the Lord's coming. Christians do not wait for a time when we will serve the church. We wait for a time when the Lord will come again. If a believer is not careful, but substitute other things for the Lord's return, he becomes fallen immediately. Once Miss Barber wrote a hymn concerning the Lord's coming. I did not understand what one line she wrote in her hymn. She answered, come, and I will show you. We went out and took a walk. When we were about to turn a corner, she said to me, the Lord is coming. He is getting closer and closer. Perhaps we will see him around the corner. In her, I saw a person who was waiting for the Lord's return, and I realized what it means to wait for the Lord to return. Her whole life was a life of preparing for the Lord's return. Day by day, while she lived on the earth, she waited eagerly for the Lord to return. She was a person who not only was recovered in the truth concerning the Lord's return, but also was recovered in her living and her experience concerning the Lord's return. So, brothers and sisters, I wanted to read that portion to you because, in a sense, that's our heritage in the Lord's recovery. That's our heritage. And there is this matter, as young people today, that still needs to be recovered in the Lord's recovery. And that is the experience of waiting for the Lord's return. And I bring that in context of great resolutions of heart and great searchings of heart. College students, will you make this great searching in heart and great resolution in heart to be one to enter into this experience of waiting for the Lord's return? We have the truth. What a heritage we have concerning the truth. But we still have this matter that needs to be recovered. The experience of the Lord's return. Okay, so how do we get there? How do we get there? Well, there's this whole aspect, this Roman numeral 2, that I will quickly try to cover. Okay, so I was driving down from Knoxville on Friday? Was it Friday? So I was driving down and we stopped for lunch and I got a text. And I looked and it was from Philip and he said, watch your sodium. What? What do you mean? Oh, he knows where I am for lunch. How did he know where I was at for lunch? Well, there's this app, right, that you can follow someone. follow their coming. So, I take that as he loves my coming, right? He's following my coming. So anyway, there's an app. Okay. Do you all know what an app is? Right? What's an app? What's app mean? It's an application. Did you know that app is short for application, right? So I want to share with you an application. I want to give you a free app. And the brothers have been fellowshipping. We've heard a lot about some concern about going on after the training. Some hesitation of how to go on. Well, let me give you a free app. An app for the Lord's return. How about that? And I'll tell you, you already have it. You already have it. It's this binder. This is your app. This is your application. I was just considering, brothers and sisters, if we just took time, you know, of course, as you get into the life studies, this very well prepares you. But these outlines and these messages that are in your binder, it's very well rounded. It takes care of your morning time, takes care of the exercise of the spirit, takes care of companions, twos and threes. It takes care of the gospel, the work, and it takes care of vision, the Lord's return. Very well rounded, right? So if you would just take your binder and every day take a verse or take an outline and go through that outline. Go through that outline with your companion or with another brother or another sister that's in your locality. It doesn't have to be another young person or a college person. It could be another saint. But if you just take time to go over each one of these outlines, go over your notes, this is the application of this training. And it will prepare you for the Lord's return. So, with that, let's read Roman numeral 2 together. So we touched a little bit about this, but you know, our prayer is, come Lord Jesus. Come Lord, Lord, quickly come. But there may be a response in the Lord, are you ready? I want to come quickly, but I can't marry an infant. The Lord will marry a bride that is fully mature and beautified. And her wedding dress is all made. So our prayer is, come Lord Jesus. But we have to take care of our end. And of course, many of these messages takes care of a matter of life and service, right? But it's not an overnight matter. And, you know, again, we've touched this. We can't outsmart the Lord. The Lord is righteous. You think within the last 3.5 years, the last day, we can say, okay, now I'm going to have morning revival, now I'm going to read all the life studies, and I'm going to be ready for the Lord's return. It's not an overnight matter. In all these matters concerning the truth in the Bible, man always thinks he's got a little way in, right? Well, I can just receive the Lord, I got my ticket to heaven, and I can do whatever I want until the Lord returns. No. Read the Word. There will be a day of reckoning. And there will be the first fruit that have been joined. Okay, why do I share that? Because you can't outsmart God. So take those thoughts of, oh yeah, I can do this and I can do that. The safe way, brothers and sisters, the safe way is the way of constitution. The way of day to day, touching the Lord and loving His appearing. Have Him come in us day by day, morning up by morning, to the point where the morning star rises in our heart. Right? The Lord is coming from within us and His presence is with us day by day to the point where one day the Lord will be here. He will be here physically. Physically. He's with us here now. And He's coming day by day in us. But one day, the day we are praying for and that we are expecting and hastening is the physical return. That's what we're talking about. The physical return of the Lord. He's coming in us every day, every morning. But we're praying for His physical return. Okay, so let's read these points. I'm sure I don't need to do much. Let's just read it because we've touched this matter before. Okay, let's go. A, brothers.
We must pursue and grow in our spiritual life, earnestly maintaining the living fellowship with the Lord, and have proper dealings with Him.
Amen. So we want to have fellowship with the Lord, take care of our dealings, take care of our conscience before the Lord. Sisters, B.
We must fully consecrate ourselves to Him. The overcomers have the highest revelation of Christ and offer themselves willingly to the Lord in the splendor of their consecration.
Amen. So I believe there were many consecrations this week. Many consecrations to the Lord. And so if you haven't spent time before the Lord, to consecrate yourself in the splendor of their consecration in the day of your warfare. We want to be those that consecrate ourselves. What does it mean to consecrate? This is the great resolutions of heart, the great searchings in heart, to consecrate ourselves to His, in light of His appearing. Okay, how about brothers? See? Amen. So we want to be like Mary, right? Who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His word. Okay. Sisters, D.
We must be equipped with the word of the truth. By getting the word into us and getting ourselves into the word, so that we are mingled with the word and also washed with the water in the word.
Amen. Amen. So we touch this, right? Let His word, right? Read His word every day. Touch the word and then get equipped with the word of the truth. Get into the ministry of this age. Read a life study message. Read a book. A blessed human life, right? A vision of the age. Many, many books that we have that will constitute us with the truth. Okay. And then finally, let's all read, point E together. Amen. So functioning in the church meetings, right? Just like you all have been doing this training, you have a taste now, you have a practice now. Now go back to your localities and practice and function by praying, by exercising your spirit, by speaking. So it's not just a 1 week activity where, I can only function in the college meetings. No, no. This is for the church meetings. This is for the body. And so as we rise up to function, as we rise up to speak, to pray in the church meetings, we are preparing ourselves for the Lord's return. Okay, how about let's all read Revelation 22:20. Let's all stand up and read Revelation 22:20, and then we'll have you all come up and function by speaking. Ready? Go. These things says, yes, I come quickly.
Amen.
Good. Let's sing number 16. Number 16 in our binder.